Yeah, this morning I just want us to take a moment. This is, we're singing that song. Just kept seeing in my mind's eye, just darkness with light, like a door being opened up and light coming in. And so I just want to try to be obedient to that. We try to take risk here at the church as much as we can to follow what God's doing. So today, if you would, if that resonates, you're like, man, I feel some darkness crowding in. And it may not be like your whole life. Maybe there's an area of your life where you just feel some darkness. And when we say darkness, once again, that's an analogy. We're trying to put words to something. But I would say this, if there's an area of your life where you're feeling a lack of hope, any area of your life where you feel like, man, there's just some hopelessness there. I just feel heavy about it. When I think about it, I get, we just want to pray for you. So if that's you, it's going to be most of us. I think a lot of us in the room. But if that's you specifically, like that resonates with me, would you just raise up your hand right now? All around the room. If somebody's standing beside you, don't get in their space, but just put your hand on their shoulder just to let them know they're not alone. So we got somebody up here. Keep your hand up there. And so somebody just puts their hand on your shoulder. Just this community, we're a house of prayer. We're not just playing church. Like, we're being the church today. Can everybody say amen to that? Like, we don't want to just show up, go through the motions. We believe that God cares. He sees, he knows, and he wants to intercede. And so just right now, Lord, I thank you for the faith in the room. I thank you for the people in the room that are carrying in doubts and struggles and pain. I thank you for the people that are coming in here today, excited and vibrant and fully alive. And Lord, that just a picture of the darkness, a dark room with that door opening up. Lord, I just pray right now over each circumstance, each situation, that even right now, your light, your hope, your peace would break into the darkness. Because there is no darkness that can overcome your light. You are the light of the world. You call us your light of the world, Lord. And so we're just speak and prophesy over each circumstance that there would be a light that breaks in. There would be hope that breaks in even today. So Lord, for those that have their hands raised and are being prayed for, Lord, I ask right now that you would even show them something in the midst of whatever they're navigating, whatever situation they find themselves in. Will you show them just a little piece of light that they can fix their eyes on, a little piece of hope that they can fix their eyes on in this season, that they'd be able to endure, that they'd be able to persevere, that they would hold on, lasting faith. So Lord, I just release your peace, your hope, hope that the Spirit of God gives us. We just release your hope in this place, Lord. May we be a place where people don't feel beat down, but actually are uplifted, where heads are raised, where spirits are raised, that we're actually spiraling up to you, Lord. So, Lord, we just say yes to hope today. We just say yes. We acknowledge, man, there's hard things in life. We know that. You said that there would be hard things, but you said you came, then you overcame the world. We just speak the name Yahweh that we spoke over, the one that's self-existent, always has been, always will be, is today. Lord, thank you for being intimately in the mix of our lives, every single one of us. I bless those in the room, those that are joining us online, Lord. May we be open to hear from you today. Cultivate our hearts, Lord. May we learn what it means to be a disciple a little different today. Thank you, Lord, for community, for not designing us to be alone, but to be in fellowship. We thank you for that. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give a little clap as we're sitting down to the Lord. Yes, Lord. Woo. Yes, thank you, team, for leading us. Yeah, so amazing. Hope you're having a great weekend, a little rainy weekend, but man, the beauty is all around us. How many of you love fall leaves? Anybody? How many of you like to clean up the leaves? Not so much, right? But beauty sometimes comes with a cost, right? Beauty sometimes comes at a cost, and I believe it's well worth it. I want to jump right into the things. I've got a couple people that are going to share with me in about 15 or 20 minutes, and so I'd love for you to grab your Bible. I'm going to start in John 12, but we're going to make our way to John 10, where we've been sitting for the last number of weeks, and we're going to dig a little deeper into John 10 today. As we've been in this series, there's a couple truths that we keep just almost like an airplane when they're not quite ready to land. They just keep circling the runway, just waiting for their clarity. And so we've just been circling around some truths in this series. And one of the truths that I've been really hitting on is that Jesus is our model for abundant life. He said, I came that you may have life, that you may have it abundantly. And what we see in Christ is he is the embodiment of abundant life. If I want to know what abundant life looks like, I want to look to Christ because he lived a life that was fully aligned with the Father. And every thought that he thought, every word that he said, and every deed that he did. And what we've been talking about is this really is what marks abundant life. It's recognizing what God says, what his perspective is, and then being willing to die to whatever is not that in order that I can live to what God had actually given us. And so today I want to look at a topic that I think is crucial to abundant life, and it's a huge hallmark for our church, what we believe, what we aspire to help equip and empower people to be and do. And so let me just read you, before I get to John 10, let me just read you what Jesus says in John 12, verse 49 and 50. He says this, he says, I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. Verse 50, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. So it leads to life. It is life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Now that'll blow up some of our thinking about Jesus in a lot of different ways. Now, just to be clear, and I say this often, because sometimes people get a little sideways in this. We believe that Jesus is God. Does anybody else believe that? We believe he always has been God. Can we all just say amen to that? Before the world was created, Jesus was present and he was God. Amen to that? Do you know when he walked the earth, he was God? Do you know right now today, he's seated on the throne praying for you and me? Let that blow your mind. And how many of you know he's still God? How many of you know one day he's gonna come back and he's gonna establish his kingdom fully on earth as it is in heaven? Do you know that? Yes, and here's the challenge for us, is at the same time Jesus has always been God, he chose to enter into humanity and become fully human. Not 50-50. Fully human. Fully human. And that was a lot of different ways, but one of the primary reasons why he did that, obviously to be our sacrifice. I just kept picturing the lamb as we were singing, the lamb that was slain. Jesus is the lamb that came to take away the sins of the world. Amen to that. He came to be what we couldn't be, what we failed to do. Jesus came in every way to be what we were designed to be, actually. But he also came to show us what it looks like to walk on the earth, connected to the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit, establishing the kingdom of God like we were originally supposed to in Genesis chapter 1. It's a whole different way of reading the gospel. It's a whole different way of thinking about Jesus, not as just this God that's somewhere out there that's amazing. Yes, he is all that, but he also came to fully submit himself to a human body, to limitations. And what's amazing about Jesus is Jesus, as our model, he laid down his life to obey the Father. And he says, Derek, I've showed you the way. Will you follow? I'm inviting you, Derek. I've modeled for you what it looks like, and now I'm inviting you to follow. And so what we see is that Jesus modeled a lifestyle of hearing and following the voice of the Father. Jesus had this awareness of what the Father was doing. He had an awareness of what the Father was saying, and his whole life was one of saying yes to the Father. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, not my will be done, but your will be done. And I'm gonna lay down my desire to be saved, my desire to not go through pain. I'm gonna lay that down. Jesus, I'm gonna lay that down in order that I could experience abundant life even through death. This is the King that you and I have all been invited to follow. And not just with our words, not just with our songs on Sunday, but our whole lives, to say, yes, Jesus, here I am. I'm a disciple. I want to learn from you. I want to be like you. And here at this church, we believe deeply that coming to faith is essential. But walking with Jesus is actually what we're invited to after we place our faith in him. That's what a disciple is. I'm learning his ways. I'm not just learning and thinking about and like understanding at a high level, but I'm actually saying, what's it look like to incarnate, to wrap myself, to be wrapped in flesh and to live out the good news of the kingdom of God? This is what Jesus has invited us to. And we believe at this church that a huge part of that is of being a disciple of Jesus is knowing his voice, hearing his voice. And then what we do with that really dictates how much life we're gonna experience. Now in John chapter 10, where we've been for a while, if you wanna flip over just a couple pages, John 10, Jesus is talking about abundant life in this passage. And I wanna read the first six verses, and I wanna read just a couple of the verses here because it's gonna show us some things about hearing the voice of God and the abundant life that he wants to give us. So Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice." There it is. If you have your Bible, I would underline that. The sheep, by the way, that's you and me, hear whose voice? Jesus, aka the good shepherd, right? He says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. He speaks to them. He calls them by name." We talk about that a lot. That's our identity. He calls us by name, and then he leads them to sit in their church pews. We like that because that's safe and comfortable, and I know I can check that off every Sunday, hour and a half, check it off. No, he says he leads them what? Out. Go. He speaks, he calls you by name, and then he leads you out with his voice. Look how it continues. He says, "When he has brought out all his own," he's brought them out, "he goes before them." Thank God that Jesus goes before us. "And the sheep follow him," for why? They know his what? Voice. "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was trying to say. They're like, "Jesus, I don't get it. Who's the good shepherd? What's going on? Who's the thief?" They didn't quite understand it. Jump down to verse 14. Jesus makes clarity. "I am the good shepherd." Who's the good shepherd? Who's the good shepherd? Jesus. Okay, he says, "I am the good shepherd," guys. Like, let me take this down to like 101 level course. "I am he that I'm talking about. I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And he invites us to do the same. He lays down his life for the sheep. "He who is," I've skipped around here. I know my own. Look at me. I'm reading too many verses. Can you do that in church? No. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my" what? "Voice." So there will be one flock and one shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. Verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands." My sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life. And I want to put before you today that a huge part of all of us experience the abundant life that Christ said he came to give us is our ability and our desire and our willingness, maybe more so than willingness, to not only hear his voice, but to follow his voice. I would say today that you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ apart from hearing and following the voice of God. You say, "Well, how is that, Derek?" Well, I know that no one comes to the Father except through Christ. And no one comes to Christ except that they were called to Christ. So if you're a follower of Jesus today, at one point in your life, you recognized your need. You heard the voice of God showing you your need for a savior, your need for hope, your need for love. And then you recognized, whether it was through a person preaching, whether it was through reading the word, whether it was through a dream you had, you recognized that the hope that you desired was found in Christ. And so you heard the voice of God, or you would not have come to Christ. Does that make sense to everybody today? If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, if you're following him, listen, you have heard his voice today because it's essential. You cannot come to the Father except from hearing the voice of God. But it's not just hearing the voice of God that brings us to the Father. It's also what maturity looks like. And I would say that actually our maturity of faith largely, very high percentage, depends on our awareness and our obedience to the voice of God. Hearing God's voice is not a minor thing in the scriptures. It's not a secondary thought. It's primary. And here at the church, we believe that God has called us to make disciples, to help walk with people so they can be all that God designed them to be. And we believe, as we read the scriptures, as we look at our own lives, that a huge part of us growing into the likeness of Christ, becoming all that he designed us to be, is dependent upon us as a community, us as individuals, growing in awareness of God and his voice, and then responding rightly. This is what it means to be a disciple, by the way. And we see Jesus, he talked about this the last couple of days of his life, and he was setting up the disciples and future generations to what it would look like to follow him. So John 14:26, Jesus says, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will bring to remembrance all that I have said. So Jesus is saying there will be a spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's not just going to be on you, but he's going to be in you. And that Spirit of God is going to be a teacher. How many of you know teachers communicate things? They communicate things through their words, yes, usually. But how many of you also know they communicate things by their body language? They communicate things through written notes to the class. They communicate things through object lessons, through scenarios. Teachers teach in a lot of different ways, but they communicate. That's really the heart of a teacher. You're communicating how to educate, right? You're educating through communications, maybe a better way to put it. And he says, the Holy Spirit, he is going to be your teacher. That means God is going to communicate to you through the Spirit of God. Then John 16:13, just a little bit later, Jesus says, the Spirit of truth comes, and he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Whew. He will declare to you the things that are to come. Here's the reference here. This is not Old Testament reference. This is not when Jesus is speaking. He's speaking future. When the Spirit of God comes, he's going to be your teacher. He's going to be your guide, and he will speak what he hears the Father, or what he hears Jesus speaking. The Spirit of God is going to speak to you. How many of you know today God wants to speak to you? How many of you are grateful that God is not a silent God? It's huge. Part of our becoming like Christ is learning to discern his voice, learning to walk in his ways. And I would even put it this way. I put this phrase down. I think it's in the notes here. We are not trying to get God to speak. We are learning to recognize what he's already saying. See, we're not trying to get his attention. We're not trying to wow God. Okay, I'll talk because they did this. Yeah. It's pagans do that, right? They cut themselves. They try to get God to respond. And God's like, that's not what I want. I want you to turn your ear towards me. I want you to engage with me in relationship, fellowship, and learn my voice. Learn my voice. And so today, I've just got three brief lies that I think hinder our ability to hear from the Lord, all right? And as I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord was talking to me here. I was down here, and we were praying as a team early this morning. And the Lord reminded me, because that's what he does. He reminds us of things. He reminded me of one of my children who had gone through just some sickness and kept complaining about not being able to hear very well, and then started like talking about some noise that he was always hearing. It kind of like was driving him crazy. And we're like, uh-oh, do we need to cast something out of this kid? Like, what do we need to do? Like, that was a joke, by the way. So we took him to the doctor, right? That's real practical. We took him to the doctor, and the doctor, who we have an amazing pediatrician, she looked in his ears and was like, oh my goodness, like, it is like packed full of stuff. And so the nurse came in and she's like, I love to do this procedure. And it's kind of interesting. And nurses, a little weird, but she's like, I love to see it. And so she got like this squirt thing out. I don't know if you guys ever seen it. You guys have probably done this before. If you have little kids, so they got like a almost like a super soaker kind of thing. Remember those kind of things? It's like a super soaker with a bottle. And I was holding like this thing, and she put it in his ear and just started going to town. And she's smiling. Oh my goodness, she's smiling. Ah, this is the best. Oh my goodness, I can't wait for it. And then all of a sudden, this massive glob of earwax came out. She's like, I got it. And immediately my son was like, I can hear. Oh. Now, could he hear the whole time? Yes, he had perfect hearing before, during, and after. But you know what? There were some things that were blocking his ability to hear. Let me tell you, that's a deeper story than just my son hearing. It goes for the church. The church. Listen, if you're a child of God, if you're a sheep, how many of you are sheep in here? Me, baby, I'm a sheep. Bah, right? Give it to me, Lord. I'm a sheep. I need the good shepherd. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. They don't just hear my voice. They know my voice, and they know it the difference between my voice and the voice of the thief. Ooh. And so we as a church, we want to be a church that helps people to hear clearly. We want to be like that nurse just squirting that thing. Be like, yes, they can hear. I get so excited when people hear from the Lord. And so here's three lies that I think keep us from hearing. And then I'm going to have some of my friends come up here and share this morning some of their life experiences. So number one lie that needs to die if we're going to hear the voice of God is that God only speaks through the Bible. Nobody got up and left. That's good. I just want you to know, we love the scriptures here at the church. I love this. How many of you know we're called to feast on this book? This is the word of God. It's the inspired word of God. He breathed into it. We love it. And here's what we do as a church. We believe that when my opinion differs from this word, that I'm wrong. Ew, that doesn't preach very good nowadays, but it's true, right? We believe that. And so we love the word of God. And as we read the word of God, we don't see anywhere in the scripture that says that God only speaks through this amazing book. We believe God does speak through the word. How many of you have ever had God speak to you through his word? I hope a lot of you, right? Like, I would just venture to say, it's the primary way that God speaks to his children. It's the primary way. If you're not in the scriptures, don't feel condemnation, but also don't expect to hear a lot from God. Just being honest. It's the primary way. It's how we learn, how does God speak? When I feel like I hear the Lord speak, I need to check it. Does this line up with his word? If it doesn't, I'm wrong. He's right. And so we see the scripture, it's so life-giving, it's so free. It actually leads us into a deeper relationship with God where it's not just a text, but it becomes alive. And let me just give you a few ways that God speaks in this book. So if you love the Bible and you're like, I don't know about this, let me just give you a few ways that God speaks in this book and models how he speaks. Dreams. Visions. Ideas. Community, aka other people. The scripture, nature, circumstances, angels. And I could probably give you a list that keeps on going and going. But this amazing, beautiful book that we love actually shows us that God is interested in speaking to us even beyond what's in this book. Now, that doesn't mean that what we hear is equal to this book, okay? Just real clear. We believe that this is the word of God. We don't add to that and we don't take away. Everybody said amen to that, right? But when God speaks to us, it doesn't have to come with an address in the Bible. Now, will it align with the Bible? 100% of the time. God will not come against what he's already said. But what he models in the scriptures is actually God is much more interested in a day-to-day walk with us, that he speaks in a million different ways and engages with us in a million different ways. Number two lie that needs to die. If someone else, I love this one, speaks to you and says, thus says the Lord, it is from the Lord. It's awkward laughter, isn't there? Listen, here's one of the challenges, honestly, and being a church where we hear the voice of God and we help other people and we believe that people hear the voice of God is people sometimes get weird. It's true. It's just true. And what's happened throughout centuries is that people love to manipulate the good things of God for their own personal gain. Do you know that? It's not just God speaking. It could be the Bible. You know, there was a slave Bible. You know why? Because they wanted to manipulate slaves. They took out the scriptures around the Exodus and whatnot, gave it to the slaves. Okay, this is sanitized for you. Go ahead and listen to it. You know why? They wanted to manipulate the word of God. Ooh. And you better bet you that's not the only example. And so what we do as religious people, as people that want to control and empower and have authority over people, we manipulate sometimes what God says. And so I just want to give you the freedom in knowing that we are a place where people hear from the Lord. We want to teach people that. But when somebody comes up to you and says, I feel like the Lord has said this to you, just know you don't have to receive it. Thought that one would get a little more of an amen than that. You're like, what if somebody comes up and says, the Lord says you're going to die next month? Nope. See, it's actually our responsibility to test any advice we get, to test any prophetic word that we get, to test any other insight that we receive. It's your responsibility as a child of God to test, is this from the Lord or not? And so when we're in a church that we say, man, God does speak, we don't have to go around saying, thus saith the Lord. We don't have to do that. Actually, we tell people, don't do that. So if you're like, man, I want to be part of the church, don't start a conversation. Even if you believe 100% it was the Lord, don't say, thus saith the Lord. Just say, man, I feel like maybe God was saying this and I just wanted to share with you. It gives so much freedom, because this is what we found out with hearing God, is that when he speaks through others, he will oftentimes confirm it in me. So there's times I feel like I get a prophetic word for someone and I go to them with humility and I say, Kim, I feel like I heard this from the Lord. And what we found out as we're living this out, and Jennifer can tell you as well, as we found out is what oftentimes happens. She'll be like, the Lord, I felt like the Lord was already saying that to me. It's a confirmation. Or she'll like, I don't know if I heard the Lord. Let me hold that in my back pocket and maybe he'll speak to me, but I'm not gonna move on it until the Lord speaks to me about that thing. You see, this is how we can be a healthy community that loves the word of God, loves that God speaks, and yet still be healthy and held accountable. Ooh, that's a good word right there. Held accountable. And so, man, when somebody says, thus saith the Lord, it doesn't mean it's from the Lord. Just get everybody a free card, free pass. Say, my pastor Derek said, I don't have to receive that word, okay? It helps, I'm telling you. It helps a whole lot getting in front of things. And the last lie that I wanna look at is this one, and this is huge. That only church leaders or super spiritual people can regularly hear God's voice. Oh, I'm actually gonna invite my friends up here as I finish this point up here. This, once again, is a way of manipulating people. And it's the way of religion. Whether it was, you know, when the priest way back in the day, they could read, but none of their people could read. How many of you know that's a power position to be in? And the same things happen today is when pastors or church leaders, they're like, we're the anointed of God and I can hear from God, but I'm the only one that can hear from God. I just want you to know that it becomes really weird, unbiblical and ineffective when only a few people can hear from the Lord at a church. And so we at this church, we believe actually that all of us can hear the voice of God, that all of us, because we're children of God, we're sheep, we can hear the voice of God, not just some anointed pastor, not just some super religious person, but all of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, you can know his voice. And so to help us understand that this morning, I invited some people up here, because here's the reality. What I know is that sometimes when I preach, you're like, well, that's just the pastor saying that. I know you say that. It's okay. I said that before I was ever a pastor too. I get that. And so today what I wanted to do is have a little conversation with each one of these people about how they've heard from the Lord. And our prayer has been that you would hear from them and maybe connect with them, and that it would unlock or take a little earwax out of your God ears, all right? So why don't you guys introduce yourself real quick, go around, and then we'll answer a few questions and have a conversation.
Hello, my name's Jonathan Reed. My wife, Jody, and my two children go here, and we've been coming to Christ Fellowship since 2015. Mm-hmm. And let's see, a little bit
what do you
about...
What do you do for a living?
A little bit about me. I like to shoot competitively, and I've been with the Federal Bureau of Prisons for 20 years and wear all kinds of different hats there. I was an officer for 18 years, and the last 2 years I'm kind of over all the training, anything having to do with training, I'm pretty much responsible for it, which includes scheduling trainings, instructing, just about everything. So
Perfect. Awesome. Caitlin?
Hey, I'm Caitlin Wolf. I've been here at Christ Fellowship for going on 6 years, I think, now. I'm a stay-at-home mom. My husband, Brett, and I have one daughter, Annie, who is 2.
Perfect.
And I'm Jeremy Day. My wife, Gabrielle, and I have, he just turned 7 months, a little one named Easton. I'm a financial advisor for a living, so definitely coming up and talking about spiritual stuff is very, very different from my typical day, for sure. And we've been here probably going on somewhere between our second and third year right now. I don't know the exact date, but somewhere
awesome.
In there.
So we got a good mix here. So to go around quickly and say, like, how do you generally hear from the Lord? So we're talking like high level, like that's what I set up, really try to set you guys up. So how do you, Jonathan, generally, how does the Lord speak to you on a day-to-day basis?
Generally, it's kind of odd. He'll speak to me through circumstances and like nudging me to do stuff that I don't really want to do. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. I've come to learn if I don't want to do it, it's probably I need to do it. And especially if it glorifies him, then I know I got to do it. And like I said, it's not always the most easy thing to do, but I've gotten better at just saying yes to that.
So. That's so good, man. So good.
So I have felt like the Lord has spoken to me through many different methods. And, you know, he's spoken to me through the word and nature and music. But lately, I feel like he's been speaking to me a lot through things that I notice that I just can't get my mind away from, that he just keeps bringing up. And so then I'll be like, okay, well, what do you want me to know about that? Why is this sticking out to me?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I think for me, my experience hasn't been receiving consistently in the same area, but it's been a mental place that I've gone to where I consistently receive. It took getting to a place of being very intentional about my listening prayer to really start to receive. And then stepping into that, as I was listening to Derek's sermon, I felt very led to share that this is only 4 years since I came to faith. It took getting over this mentality that I had to reach a certain point to access this stuff.
Wow.
Small groups and getting relationships with staff and relationships with the Lord and hearing from the Lord. And I just felt very led that there's at least one person in here that feels that same way, that maybe you're new to faith or you just haven't really made that step. Just let this be encouragement to you to just go and figure out the rest later. And I promise he will faithfully deliver every time.
Yeah, that's such a good word, man. Yeah, and so I've asked these guys to just think about one recent example, because sometimes, you know, we want to be real practical, we want to give examples, and so when we're talking about this, sometimes you're like, what does it mean when, like, you hear the voice of God? Is it like God said, like, it's probably not that. Maybe once in a while, maybe we got an outlier, but usually, like, I've never heard the audible voice of God. I mean, that's cool if you have, but I never have, and so when we hear it and we're reading the Bible, sometimes we're like, always it's got to be the verbal, like audible voice of God. And this is not really what we see in the scriptures. It's not what we experience in here. And so I've asked each one of these guys to share an example of where they sensed that they heard the Lord and then where they stepped out in obedience and what happened with that. And so, Jonathan, you want to kick us off, man? I'm excited to hear this one because you switched it up last minute here, didn't you?
Yeah, what I was going to do was something different, but it was kind of weighing on me to do this because...
So you were hearing the voice of God last night.
Yeah,
you were.
So, yeah, I'll give you the sanitized version because of where I work. But anyway, it's a prison story. So I felt like if you know that God can speak in a prison, then, I mean, there's no reason why or any of y'all work that he can't work. So
that's good.
Anyway, so it was 2 or 3 years ago when Jamie first came here mm-hmm. and did the three-night thing.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's 2018 or 19.
Probably 18, yeah.
But so like the whole time I kept getting this feeling that let me back up a little bit. There's an inmate who is the highest ranking gang member of a notorious gang that everybody's heard of nationwide, and this guy is like a pretty bad dude, has a lot of bodies either that he's responsible for or that his voice has had a hand in. So with that being said, we had a professional relationship because I work at that housing unit. And our housing units aren't like you see on the movie. So there's 120 inmates out there with you. So you got to manage them and you got to talk to them. So anyway, if something was going on in the unit, you know, I would go to this guy and say, hey, you know, here's what's going on. And he'd usually help manage it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, so I was at that identity study with Jamie. Like, this guy was, like, on my mind. I was like, why is this guy, you know, why am I keep getting this that I need to go talk to this guy? I was like, ah, it's nothing, you know. Like I said, he talked about the spiritual maturity, and I wasn't there yet. So at the end of it, one of my lieutenants just happened to be here in the same study, and I started talking to him, and I kind of told him, which that was stepping out too, because that's just something that you don't do. I talked to him about it, and he said, man, that dude's on my mind too. And I was like, okay, all right, still, I'm not going to talk to him, you know?
Real life, I told you, it's real life here.
So, yes. You know, so you just don't do that. So anyway, I go into work on Monday, and I open my computer, and I've got like 50 emails, and the very first one, and at the time, I was the assistant team leader on SWAT team. I'd been on SWAT for 16 years, and this inmate, we were flying him in a week, seven of us on SWAT team to a prison in Massachusetts. So I was like, all right, you got my attention now. This can't be coincidence, you know. I gotta go talk to this guy. So then that becomes the hard part, because how do you go about doing that? You got 120 other inmates in there. Is this the guy you go up, start talking about God to him in front of the other inmates? Plus, you can't pull him to the side, because that's just something you don't do in prison, because then they think they're snitching on their other peoples.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, how am I going to do this? And then right when I'd get the opportunity to do it, my peoples would come around. And that's just something, you know, I'm like, it's a bunch of alpha guys where I work. And I was like, you know, top of the list. So I'm like, I can't let them see me doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it was almost like the devil was kept, no, you don't need to do this, you know. Mm-hmm. But I kept on, and I finally got him in a spot where it was a good situation to do it. And I said, hey, you're going to think this is weird, but it's on my mind to talk to you about, you know, God. And he's a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So he was very receptive to it, and we had a conversation. And it's not this the end of the story. It's something I could put a nice bow tie on and say, hey, you know, he was saved and everything else. But, you know, I listened to something I felt that God wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. I did it. We flew into Massachusetts. He was at a lower level. It's kind of like a medical prison. So there's all different levels of inmates there that this guy has a lot of influence. Maybe it had an impact, maybe it didn't. But, you know, I did what I felt I was supposed to do. And that was kind of like the start of me, you know, listening and doing what I felt like he wanted me to do.
That's so good. And there's a good point here is when we step out in faith, we can't own the response. So I love what Jonathan shared. I love that we're a church where we don't have to always have a bow tie on every testimony and say, hey, he came to faith and like all the prison got in their face to worship God. Like that would be awesome. But how many of you know it's still the Lord celebrates his risk and him stepping out in faith, and it's not Jonathan's to own the response, right? And so I'd encourage you. That's beautiful, man. Thanks for sharing that. Woo! Do you have a prison story, Caitlin?
Do I have a
prison story?
No. mine's not as cool.
No, don't say that.
Still good, glorifying to the Lord. So last week, actually, I had been praying with some close friends of mine just about something that I had been asking the Lord for. It was something that I had been praying about on my own and with a few other people for several months. And it had just been weighing really heavily on me. And as I stepped out and asked my community to pray with me, I started to realize that it was about something a little bit deeper within me. But you know, you love when the Lord starts scratching things off the surface and like bringing things up. That's always a good time. But the next day, I caught another friend of mine in the parking lot. And just a little sidebar here. I want to encourage you all to guard your time with the Lord. Guard your time when you are presently asking to hear from him, but know that he can speak to you in any place and in any method. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Quiet, alone time isn't always a common thing in my day. And I would love to say that I'm really great about getting up early in the morning and guarding that early morning time with the Lord, but I also sleep in a lot, if I'm being honest. So a lot of times, my time with the Lord is during nap time, or it's during the middle of a chaotic day. Sometimes it's in the car, because that's the time that I get by myself when I feel like I can hear from him. And so on this particular day, I was leaving the church and ran into a friend in the parking lot, and we just started talking, and all of these things started coming up, and the Lord started speaking to her about what I needed to hear, because the things that I was going through, I had a little bit of blockage, like you're saying. This is such a gross analogy, but it's really effective. I had some things that were just preventing me from hearing what he really wanted to tell me. Mm-hmm. And so she sat and prayed with me. And the next day, as I brought that to the Lord myself to see what he wanted me to know about it, I remembered that he had continually been showing me this toy that I had bought for Annie. I had found a toy kaleidoscope for her, which she's two, so she's not really able to manipulate it the way that you know, you need to see how the toy works. So I guess I really got it more for me. So I had been looking at it, and I just felt the Lord bringing it up over and over. And so before I left to stay at home with her, I was a librarian. So I've always been a big reader and a big just lover of digging into what words mean. And so I was like, well, what does that mean? That's such a funky word. And it literally means observer of beautiful things or beautiful form. And the thing that I had been praying about, and the thing that the Lord was just shining light and bringing healing into, was showing me a season in my life that I needed to see that he still called beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been really sweet. It's something that I'm still pressing into. It's something that he's still speaking to me about. Again, I can't really tie it up with a pretty bow right now, because he's still speaking and revealing things to me about it. But it has been very, very special and sweet.
Love it. Thank you for sharing. That's beautiful. Yes, yes. All right, Jeremy, you want to bring us home, man?
Yeah, so my experience, I grew up, my parents got divorced really early, and my mom still battles, but praise the Lord, is doing really well lately with addiction. And that caused a lot of things. I won't bring up any specifics or anything, but just a lot of very, very tough emotional moments growing up as a kid, all through high school. Like I said, I just came to faith very recently, so that was always a big block for me, was the hurt and the anger that I carried from a lot of those things in my relationship with her, my relationship with other people, my relationship with the Lord. And so when I finally came to faith, it was something I prayed about constantly. It was just, take this away, take this away, take this away, take this away. And that was really the depths of that prayer. And then about 2 years ago, started to get into the equip classes and everything, started to hear about hearing from God. And so put that prayer through that lens, and kept feeling very led to, why do you want this gone? What's the motivation? Is it just you don't want to hurt anymore? Is there something there? And kept hearing that, never really understood it, couldn't unpack it until I came, sat right about there, Encounter night, November 2 years ago, and listening to the music, and I finally think it clicks. And so I prayed that, Lord, I want this gone because of the distance it puts between me and you. And I cannot exaggerate this enough. I've been meaning to tell Tyler this story forever. Immediately, amen. And Tyler comes forward and shares, she stepped out in faith and hearing too, and shared that week she received the image of Jesus going through the aisles, stopping at certain people, and peeling off layers and layers of hurt. Immediately fell over, you know, just bawling. There's probably still a puddle over there if you guys want to check. And I just, you know, even all that, I should have known right away that it was, but I still asked, Lord, is this you and is this for me? And just got this image of just the most painful memories I can imagine. I could still see every detail, Jesus in them with me. And similar to the other stories, you know, that didn't fix everything. There's still a lot of work, but, you know, we've got that 7-month-old. My mom actually came to visit him, got to meet a grandchild. We're talking a lot more. And I can say, at the very least, that anger is just not there anymore. There's still hurt. There's still things to work on. But, man, I mean, it's just a freedom that has really led to a lot of things. It's part of the reason I'm up here, not just the experience, but to have the connection to my faith and the relationship with the Lord, to still be leaning into this stuff. It's huge. So I definitely encourage you all to lean into that side. It was strange at first. I know it can be weird and it can be uncomfortable, but it's done everything for me. So
let's thank you. And one of the things that I think each one of you, and correct me if I'm wrong, I might get on the spot here, miss it, but I think each one of you have gone through the Hearing God class. Is that correct? Yes. So you're actually a table leader. Maybe you all have table led at some point, but we do have another class. Kim, when is the next one? Do you know?
Tuesday night.
Look at that. Tuesday night. And it really is the heart of our church to help equip and empower you to be all that God designed you to be. And a huge part of that abundant life is learning to hear his voice, learning to discern, is that God? Is that me? Is that the enemy? Is that the world? Is that the pizza I ate last night? Like, we need to figure that out. Like, we want to learn and grow in that. And so I would encourage you Tuesday night, if you've never taken that class, it is a class that's filled with transformation. It's not just a bunch of head knowledge, but it's actually time to sit with the Lord in community to learn his voice. It's one of my favorite things that we do at the church, Hearing God, and you can check that out on the website. What I would like to do now is I'm going to invite our prayer team, and then these three guys, I've actually asked them to be down on the floor as well. So today, if you're like, man, I want to hear better. I don't know if that's even a better term. Or I want to be more aware. Maybe that's the better way to put it. I want to be more aware of the Lord. Like, I had that picture of like the Lord scooping out some of the junk that's been blocking us. If you're like, man, I'm in that position. Maybe I've heard from the Lord. I'm not really sure, but man, I don't have that abundant life that you're talking about today around hearing from the Lord. If that's you today, why don't you just take a risk after I'm done praying and you come up and have one of these pray with you, or if you connected with one of these men or women, they would love to pray with you as well. Just pray their testimony even over you and that they would see it done again in your life. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're a God that speaks. I thank you that you said that the good shepherd calls us by name. Man, what a beautiful, just the picture that you painted with your teaching, Jesus. And you said that your sheep, they know your voice and they follow. There's one shepherd, one flock. And Lord, I thank you. And so, Lord, I pray for just our church as a community, that we would have bigger ears to hear you, that we would hear you more consistently, that we would know when the enemy speaks and we'd reject it, and we'd know when you speak and we'd receive it and we'd step in obedience, that we would have a heart to say yes. Lord, thank you for these testimonies. I pray that it stirs all of our faith as a community to not just know about you, but to walk with you, to hear you and to obey you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your voice. Thank you for the word that you've given us that shows us that you speak. Teach us this week to walk with you. Amen. Amen. Come and get prayer if you need to. If not, enjoy the day. We love you guys. We'll see you soon.